Yeah, thank you. Okay, so I'm really interested in the body and also in hierarchies. And when I was reading the topic, I found it super interesting, like the notions of authorship, but also of dispossession. And then I was wondering about like who's possessing what. And I think that authorship and ownership are two very different things. And I'm gonna try to bring this together, like the question of body and matter, and the question of ownership and authorship. And so I'm working a lot in collectives of with very different people, and not all of them are artists. So like in a collective work, you're always faced with like the division of labor, but also with the like different aims behind, like different how do you say, like gains. Like there are different risks people take, and also different gains to be had. And so I'm really interested in that. Like how is that distributed? And so to discuss that, I want to. I'm also a cinematographer, and like I was really interested in an open source hardware project that is a camera, the Axiom camera, and it looks really nice, and that's a prototype. And when I learned more about it, it's so, like, what is open source about it is, so it's open source hardware, and I think, like, it has been talked about before, what is open source hardware, and it developed, like, the open source hardware movement developed, like, along the same time as the open source software movement, but it's faced with, like, it's pointing towards different things in a way. Like, for one, it's faced with different laws, so, like with intellectual property, you have copyright law, and with building more complex machines, you are faced with the patent law. And it's interesting, like, why are these two different? And while like open source software projects are very like very widely known, widely used, like Linux or Open Office or whatever, open source hardware is much less so. And it's also interesting why. And Richard Stallman, one of the a very important figure in the open source movement, he said, like, the freedom to copy software is a social imperative, but the freedom to copy hardware is not so important as hardware is hard to copy. So I wonder, like, what is so hard about hardware and what is soft about software, in a way. And so with both, like, hardware and software, they contain the word ware, as in product, and the difference between them is described in terms of hardness. And but like it's interesting because it's a scale, like it's not a dichotomy, but it's like harder, softer is a scale, like it's something that is on a scale. And but both are wares, and so they're placed along the production of a line of material and belong to the material world, both of them. And so if you talk about resistance, like the topic of the panel, like you could say, okay, there's more, like material also has different resistance values in a way, like somehow something seems to be more resistant with hardware. And one of the things I find interesting, project, like an open source hardware project, is a printer. There are many open source hardware printers that are also able to print nearly all of their components. So with one printer, you can reproduce the next printer, which is really great. And this one is the 3DIG. No, I don't know what its name is, but it's very known, and I like this one because you can also use chocolate and then print your own chocolate figure. And but it's interesting because, so maybe I would use fair trade chocolate, but I can't use, to make this printer, if I don't make it out of fair trade chocolate, I'm relying on BASF, on British Petroleum, etc., to provide me with the material. And I say that because the question of open source and open source hardware really brings you to the source of the material also. Like in with software, you remain in the realm of idea and intellectual property. Open source hardware points you in the moment where you ask, like, with what do I assemble it? It points you outside of the realm of ideas into the realm of the material. And but unfortunately, it's not, even with this project, it's not discussed. So you can make an open source chip, but you are relying on, you can open source it pretty far into all kinds of components. But then there's suddenly like a stop when it comes to what is called raw material. Like, so it only goes so far. And some people claim that the earth belongs to all of us, and things like water and air and things found in the earth are the commons. And there are protests against privatization of water, land grabs throughout history and also today. The question of open source hardware and software falls short to go that far. And I think it's really the question of where you start to look at the production process and all the components that are the base of like both open source soft and hardware, they remain closed. And I think this is a really important point. And what I find also interesting about open source hardware is that it becomes really clear that there is a line drawn between intellectual property and physical property. So what is really hard about hardware is this realm when you enter physical property, so oil or chocolate or anything that is physical property. And I think this is where the distinction between authoring and owning comes in, so I can share with you the ideas that I authored and the knowledge that that I somehow assembled, but I can't share. I also can share with you whatever I possess, but that's very limited in a way. And what does this have to do with art or my with art practice? So what? I'm working, Charlotte said, I'm really interested in the body and I work with different bodies of people, we all do. What I find interesting is mainly a Western idea of this separation of mind and body, spirit and flesh, and the story of that is very long, throughout philosophy, and you have endless amounts of literature discussing monism and dualism, and so it's not so much about where is this right or wrong, or where does it start and why. But what I find interesting is that it's it enables hierarchization. So I have the thesis that the body and the mind. Are seen not only separately, but also the mind and the intellectual property, for example, has a very different place and importance. And and also what this enables is certain kinds of blind spots and also transparency. So if you think about who has a body, we all have a body, but like whose body is more important and whose minds are more important. So so if you look at the group of people who have bodies, it would be like, where is the body important? So it's important for people that work, that do physical labor. It's important if you're racialized. It's important if you're gendered. And so this directly points to, the body points directly to inclusion and exclusion, and is also placing you on a social strata in a way. Whereas other people with bodies, where the body is not important and only the mind is more important, or what the labor of their mind, the body and everything that belongs to it stays transparent. That's my thesis. So, so it's really like in the body group, if you're in the body group, then it's this question, who has color, who has a gender, who has the looks, whose body is an asset or a commodity? And for example, if we take Hegel, the, who was born here in Stuttgart, I found out. So we don't speak about his body, we don't speak about his color or gender. And but I looked up Hegel, and he loved to drink coffee. And then I was imagining Hegel, who is an idealist and a monist. I was imagining Hegel drinking coffee and then writing books. That's what he's known for. And I was thinking about the process of production. So of course, there's all the reproductive labor, like all bodies that are working, so that also his body is able to work his mind and write a book. And I was thinking of the like of authorship spatially. So you have Hegel sitting at the desk and drinking coffee, while someone else, the one with the body, is working in the plantation and extracting the coffee, and somehow. All these bodies, they're not given credit, even though they also enable the livelihood and the thought. And at the same time, they don't have, they're not granted the mind, or their mind is not that important. So in the US, for example, if you were a slave, you were not, and you would want to, you would want to note a patent, and many slaves invented things, but they were denied. They were denied the right to patent, or the right of intellectual property, basically. What I want to note is, so human bodies and minds, they are capable of all kinds of things, and all of them, but it's pretty arbitrary, but it matters like where you're born and into what kind of system, and then you would be placed, like your body would be placed either at a desk or on a plantation, would be rendered really important, your mind would be rendered important or not so important. And this is a different thing. I wonder if I should... I'm thinking a lot about. So, if you take like the idea and the mind on one hand, and the matter and body on the other, and you say that the mind is more important, you place a hierarchy. And of course, like there are all kinds of relations between idea and matter, and they also have influence on what is. For example, on the what is property, or who owns what, or like they have influence on everything. So this is a picture of the Oklahoma land run, like where settlers were granted so-called unassigned land, and they could. It was like first come, first serve. So people were like riding their horse quick and claiming land that then would be sold. And this is a map of this. And this is just to illustrate this kind of like the impact of like, so you have a piece of land and then like there's this impact of the idea of owning, of the idea of, so the US government at that time they would assign, like open up the lottery or open up the running, and then you could buy this land that was. So then you owned this land. It became private property. I think it matters because before that you could also, if you speak about the commons now and like not private, like buying back privatized water or like land that is assigned to the state. I think it's really interesting to think about these ideas not as innocent in any way. And so maybe I jump a bit. So this is also meta, but then it's also like there's an idea, for example, the idea of the border that makes out of matter something else. And these ideas, they are so strong that they also they produce meaning and they produce material relation to the world. And looking up this picture, there's France, a piece of the European Union, just as an anecdote, a small anecdote. So, so my body-mind split theory. So while the mind is the one that's authoring and the one with ideas and like maybe also the realm of software, for example, there's the other realm, the physical one, that is owned. So you own your own body, you own matter, like there's a physical property. And then there's hardware, but it's not so distinct. Like I think there's also a certain softness in hardware, or hardware is sold like an idea, so that actually the physical making or the materiality of it goes to the background. So, for example, if you have a Mac or a phone, like you don't, it's designed in a way that's almost wants to make you forget that it's somebody ever assembled it in a way. And it makes sense if you place the realm of the mind above the material one to like elevate it through that. And like if you compare it, for example, with the supermarket, like where you are very much like when nourishment is very connected to the body, so you have all these like pictures of happy cows and like it's very much of interest, like how is that produced, that what are the modes of production? Whereas in things like computers, for example, the modes of production are the further hidden away, the better. So you don't speak about a fair trade computer or fair trade plastic or plastic that's good for the environment or whatever. One example that came to my mind when thinking about this split between matter and idea and what it has to do with the question of authorship and copyright and, is this. So it somehow it is okay or much more accepted to copy ideas. Like I wouldn't be shocked if someone told me, okay, my Photoshop is a cracked version, or I downloaded this film or whatever. But it would be totally shocking, or much more shocking, if I said, like, okay, I went and stole this Mac, or not paying for a newspaper online, like, and reading the content, but not paying for it is something that's done very often, but. You would never steal a newspaper. It's always okay to pay these €2, but when it's when it comes to online things, it's much harder to get people to pay. And I wondered why is that? Why is the physical somehow much more respected in terms of who owns it? While with the immaterial or with the with software, for example, it's much much harder to find reasons to pay or to make people pay. And I was thinking that somehow because the immaterial is so elevated in on one hand, and that it might become so elevated that it's like something something that shouldn't be monetized or commodified, and through that put back into the world of into the mundane world of matter. So, like in German, there's the song like the thoughts are free, and while the matter is always owned. So, the mind that is authoring is also the mind that is owning the body, and this has to, this relation has to be respected. While this kind of like circulation of the spiritual is something that the further away it is from matter, the better, in a way. And that's the authorship spatially. So what I said earlier, so you might end up at the desk, or you end up in the mine, for example. And it's both possible, like. And there's not. It's. I think it's arbitrary, and I think it's actually a pity that some people have bodies and others don't, because like it's so much harder to talk about distribution and talk about the division of labor if there's a hierarchy between mind and body, I think. And so coming back to art, I find important in a collective practice, and I think even if I would work in my own, I think it is a collective practice. Like everything that's here, like the computer, also like someone made that, and. So this is enabling me to think, and I think it's important to keep this in mind that that there are many bodies and many minds involved in making things, and that in order like that the gain, for example. In the collective that I work in, if there's no gain from authoring a work, for example, but from getting free time or from getting a stage or whatever, then there have to be different modes of compensating, basically. And I hope I made sense. It's a very new thing, like. For me, like it's very new. This thought of the how the body mind split is actually a vehicle of hierarchization, and can also be a vehicle of oppression. So, I hope it made sense.